Recording has been started. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the GAC GNSO Consultation Group call on the 9th of September, 2014. On the call today, we have Anna Nevis, Manal Ismail, Suzanne Riddell, Avery Doria, and Mark Carvel. We have no apologies. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Julia Charvelon, Olaf Nording, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Manal.
Thank you, and welcome, everyone. It's been quite some time since our last call, and mindful of the time, I do apologize again for starting late. I was facing some technical problems with my audio. So if we can go straight ahead to our agenda, we have a quick update on GAC member survey. If you recall, we already had the survey. We had only 8 responses, and then we extended the deadline for the survey till end of the month of August. And the last update was that we had 24 responses. So if Marika, please, if you could give us a quick update on where we stand now that the deadline has passed.
Yes, of course. Thanks, Manal. So this is Marika. So what you actually see up on the screen is the overview of the survey results. For those that you that may have difficulty in viewing some of the information there, I've also posted the direct link to the summary of the results as part of the agenda in the right pod on your screen, and we'll also be circulating that after the call. So after passing, the deadline is passed now, we have received 29 responses from GAC members, and I can maybe briefly take you through maybe the findings, and again, you know, the consultation group might do some further study and analysis on the feedback received, but just as a broad brush, I think you can tell from the first question where we basically asked GAC members how familiar they are with the existing mechanisms that the GNSO uses to raise early awareness or has as its availability to communicate on policy development related activities. So as you can tell, you know, the first few of those, the GAC early engagement policy documents, the policy update, as well as the policy update webinar are all somewhat familiar or familiar to GAC members, although you still see as well that a relatively high percentage notes that they're completely unfamiliar with those. But then if we go further down the list, you see that the unfamiliarity with some of the other mechanisms is increasing, and that includes the GNSO background briefings that we prepare ahead of ICANN meetings, announcements that come from the GNSO secretariat, requests for input from GNSO PDP working groups, and participation in GNSO working groups. And as you can note from the comments, and I think that comes back as well in some of the other comments, it seems that, you know, a lot of that has to do with, you know, the overflow of information. A lot of information is being received, presumably not only in relation to GNSO initiatives or from, you know, GNSO-related groups. So it appears that it's sometimes difficult to, you know, distinguish between what may be important or urgent or necessary to be reviewed compared to maybe, you know, general announcements and other things. So at least that is what I could seem to be reading through the lines, looking at some of the comments. So the second question we asked was, for those mechanisms that you rated somewhat familiar or very familiar, can you, you know, let us know what the usefulness of those is? And again, you see here a little bit of a mixed result, you know, some indicating on some of these that they're, you know, very useful, somewhat useful. I think only a few, you know, for example, the GNSO background briefings rate, you know, relatively high on or they're not familiar, so not able to assess. So at the same time, you know, for those that are familiar with the documents we provide, I think they range between somewhat useful to very useful. But again, if you look at the comments, I think, you know, people indicate again that it's, you know, really difficult to keep track of all the information that is provided, you know, sheer volume of activities going on, and, you know, that there's time needed to have relevant participation. So then we also asked for all of those that you have rated less than very useful, please indicate how this mechanism can be improved to achieve the very, very useful rating. And I think there we, you know, got a number of different suggestions. I think as well on the first comment, and if I may provide as well some personal commentary on those, you know, there's someone suggesting that, for example, on I think, and specifically relating to some of the warm pages we provide, that it would be helpful if we would actually provide indications on you know, whether public policy aspects are implied or indicated in any given issue. And again, I think that's something where probably we would feel very uncomfortable in doing so, as that is something we view as, you know, within the remit of the GAC and not necessarily part of the GNSO or the GAC to tell or the staff to tell the GAC what we believe is public policy. So, you know, the information we typically provide is around the issue, and the assumption is that indeed it's for the GAC on the basis of that to identify whether that affects or implies public policy implications. Also notes a relationship between policy initiative and GAC advice. I do believe that we've been trying to do that at least on the one pagers, but again, that's something we can look at. Some also see that some group discussion may be helpful, and I don't know if that particularly relates to having a group discussion about how those mechanisms work, or whether that's you know, whether there would be an interest in actually presenting some of those documents, as that may be easier. Some also know more attractive methods of communications or messaging may be helpful. Some suggest, for example, on the policy update that they should be more frequently shared than once a month. Some note in relation to the policy update webinar that, you know, the schedule doesn't always allow them to participate. Sharing publicly the available materials, which I do believe is something that does happen. Again, on the other one, some are suggesting that direct engagement with and follow-up with the GAC secretariat and executive would help. And then I think then on the request for input from GNSO PDP working groups, again, people notice it's hard to discern. You know, they end up, I think, with the other emails, so it's not always clear what is expected or needed or what stage the GNSO work is. And then in the participation in GNSO working groups, you know, someone knows that is maybe the biggest challenge, as some know that, you know, some have very positive experience with that, some have less positive experience with that, but also some know that, you know, it's the frequency of working group meetings as well as the time commitment that is required is not always an option for GAC members to get themselves involved in that work. So then we also ask whether there are any other ways in which existing mechanisms should be revised or new mechanisms should be created to promote early awareness of and engagement of GNSO policy development activities. And a number of suggestions were made there. Some of those are, of course, already actively working on. You know, someone referred to the GAC GNSO liaison, and that was the second agenda item, so you'll hear more about that. Also that, you know, suggesting that this group should actually review all the comments received in response to the survey, and based on that, you know, prepare some suggestions for more in-depth discussion in Malay. Noting as well that, you know, engagement may be more interactive and seeing how that can be improved. Some commenting that the GNSO website is helpful, but that, you know, some of the information may be buried, so it's better, you know, easier to find information may be helpful. Regular feedback on outcome of PDP processes, including a summary of previous processes. Again, I think that is something that we try to capture in the one-pagers, but maybe that is something we can look at in more detail to see how those could be made more helpful, or indeed if that should be replaced by some kind of other mechanism. And then some that suggested more intercommittee relationships and more ways to be engaged so as to understand what the other party is doing. And I guess that's, you know, part of why we're all here as well. So I think that's in a snapshot the findings from the survey. Of course, you know, happy to take any questions or you know, give people as well an opportunity to review the results after this call in further detail and see if you believe there are, you know, further lessons we can learn from this or additional suggestions that we should be covering as part of that.
So thank you, Marika, and yes, definitely we should further look into the results of the survey and draw some conclusions, and which should guide our work on the day-to-day awareness mechanisms and more specifically also on the PDP awareness and notification mechanisms also. So as Marika mentioned, this will be circulated on the mailing list and members will have more time to look into it. But if we have any immediate reactions for now, we can take them. And before giving the floor to anyone who would like, I should have noted that Jonathan has apologized. He's traveling for a two-day meeting. And he said that he will do his best to join, but he was not sure he was able to make it. So with that, do we have any comments on the survey? Okay, then we'll be circulating it on the mail. Okay, Mark, go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you, Manal, and hello, everybody. I think this survey just underlines the challenge of integrating GNSO policy development into the GAC mindset, if you like. It's I think for most GAC members, when they look at their work plan, their GAC commitments and so on, they only focus on the GAC and what's happening in the GAC and what the work that's being generated by the GAC. I think we have, as a committee, we have to sort of look to extend that perception of the work to embrace the GNSO. So it's as I say, I think the challenge is to integrate the work of the GNSO and the relevance to the GAC of those elements of GNSO activities firmly into GAC planning, and in that way, people on the committee will start to sort of engage in the mechanisms of communication as to what's going on and where they have to look and to prioritize GNSO elements, policy development into their preparatory process. That's my immediate take on this. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. And yes, indeed. We seem to be suffering not lack of information, but rather excessive information that's not properly streamlined into the GAC work. So, Marika, please, if you want to respond to this.
Yeah, this is Marika, and you know, Manal, I think you said it exactly right, because I think, indeed, it's definitely not the lack of information that's available, but it's probably more thinking and discussing on how we can, you know, transform that in a digestible way that makes it easier for the GAC to absorb and be able indeed to focus on those aspects that you believe are most important or most urgent. And you know, I think, you know, we can look there as well at you know, some other ways of doing it. I do believe, I think, in some of our other discussions or some of the other ideas that have been floated, like kind of a triage committee or you know, early response, those kind of things may already alleviate, you know, some of this, because that would allow for a kind of mechanism in place to at least focus on, you know, what is deemed most important. But you know, from our side, you know, talking from the GNSO staff side, you know, we could also look at things as you know, maybe a kind of monthly open house webinar session where we just say, look, you know, we're happy then to talk about any kind of policy issue that is currently open, or we're asking input. So if it is easier for people, instead of reading a lot of materials, just to, you know, show up for one of those calls and just ask questions, you know, something like that, we could you know, think about if that would be useful, or even, you know, experiment with a number of various ways in which we may be able to, you know, make the information easier digestible or allow for a more kind of engaged conversation around topics, and you know, that may help make it easier as well for, you know, GAC members to actually decide or you know, think about what will be the best way to get engaged. Is it indeed, you know, wait for public comment? Is it indeed to start a conversation within the GAC? Is it indeed to, you know, participate in a GNSO working group? So at least it's clear as well in that way. And through that, we could even, you know, separate out where different you know, policy development processes stand and what may be the most opportune way to provide input on those.
Thank you, Marika. And Suzanne, please, and then we can move to the next agenda item.
Yes, thanks. I just wanted to chime in to first thank Marika for presenting the material. I think it is extremely illuminating on our side, and I think you did a really good job of summarizing the results. I did want to pick up on something that Mark said, the issue of how do we, you know, the GAC sort of feels inundated. My sense is, frankly, the whole ICANN community is beginning to feel, you know, inundated with work, and it's a real struggle for everyone to keep up. So hopefully this is a shared concern that we might want to tackle. But I wanted to focus on the issue of doing a priority ranking, if at all possible. So my question is actually to the GNSO side. Does the GNSO struggle with this as well, and have you given thought inside the GNSO, can you do a priority ranking so you don't feel so overwhelmed by multiple PDPs underway at the same time? Because I'm thinking the more we can better understand the GNSO process, then we can tackle the ideas we have raised before, like a triage approach or an early warning group inside the GAC. Because until we know a little bit more about how the GNSO works and whether your timelines for PDP comments, say, on an issues report are pretty fixed. And I guess my question there is there any wiggle room there where if we could understand how to maybe jointly do a priority ranking, then can you perhaps extend the comment period so that no matter whatever we decide to do on the GAC side, whether it's a triage committee or an early warning group, we can actually draw people's attention to something, but perhaps the 21-day timeline might still not be enough. So I just wanted to put those questions out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. Avril, would you like to respond?
Yeah, this is Avril. I'll respond a little. I'm sure Marika will need to fill in things I say. In terms of ranking, I remember that the GNSO has actually gone through a couple exercises where it tries to rank in a long-term way. I don't know that that has ever really succeeded, partially because the impetus for doing a particular PDP is sometimes very interrupt-driven. Something happens, something noticed, you know, there's a board issue, there's a GAC issue, there's an ALAC issue, there's some issue that comes up. Since most of the PDPs are actually started based on the request for an issues report. Now, there's a little bit of stretch that has gone on in that historically. Sometimes the council has, you know, gotten the issues report, the final issues report, and basically, you know, said, well, let's delay on this one a little while and such. But there has been limited ability to do that. The newer PDP does give, I think, a little bit more latitude. There's another part of it that happens, as I say, it is put in, and that has to do with the comment periods. I don't exactly know where this is in the staff yet, but what came out of the ATRT2 report was basically offering greater flexibility in the notion of how comment periods would be run and whether that strict, you know, 21-21, which is expandable, you know, that 21 period is always expandable, so there's certainly latitude there, but whether that strict two dualities is done. Also, just to point out that certainly the ALAC has always assumed that it has to try and meet those dates as close as possible because that's what's most useful to the PDP efforts and to the working group efforts, but they've also said things like, we're an AC, and getting our input in as soon as possible, but when we get it in, has to be good enough, and we will try, and we'll ask them to try and accept it. And so they aim for the comment periods. They notify during the comment periods that they may or may not make it. And that's all taken into account. I see Marika's got her hand up, so she'll save me from all the mistakes I am sure I am making. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Avery. And Marika, please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika, and you know, definitely no mistakes, just maybe expanding or just reaffirming some of the points you make, and basically as well to know that indeed the all the timelines that currently exist in the PDP are really minimum timelines. I think only for the delivery of the issue report there is a maximum timeline, but again there's flexibility to extend that if staff needs more time. And I think as well you see, for example, in PDPs, if there are many competing events or issues going on, you see as well a natural slowdown in that process, which I don't think is necessarily a good thing, but it is what happens in practice, because we do depend on volunteers doing the work and being available to be on calls. So we have seen groups, for example, that had to cancel meetings or go to a schedule of less intensity, just because otherwise it wouldn't be possible to meet the workload. So it's a kind of, I think it's a kind of natural prioritization that takes place. And as Avery said, we the GSO did go through a formal kind of priority exercise, but that didn't really work very well, because again, I think there's the challenge of how do you decide what is a priority, and what does that mean? Does it mean that then more people are going to work on that you move faster, that everything else stops? And I think that has never been really been clear on how that works. So also, for example, on public comments, I think what typically happens is that because normally council, of course, takes decision at council meetings. Those are once a month, and public comment forums may come in up in between. So I think the way that normally works is that at least the chair or the council leadership may flag an issue on the mailing list and just try to assess whether council members believe that is an issue that needs to be worked on. And if there is a tight deadline, indeed there's maybe initiative to already start something before a next council call. Or then the approach is taken, like Avery said as well, that similar happens with the ALEC, where basically an indication is made that the GSO Council is working on something and will be submitting it, may not make the deadline, and usually I think that is respected. And I think most GSO working groups, for example, work in a similar way. When they send out requests for input, and often, of course, there are participants from different communities, we will ask them, once we get close to the deadline, to say, look, are you aware if your group is working on something? If so, we're happy to wait a bit more if you can at least give us an indication by when we can expect it. Or, are they not going to provide anything, which is perfectly fine too, but then we just know that we don't need to wait for it. So I think, I think just to say that there's a lot of flexibility, and I think it's as long as groups are aware that something is forthcoming, I think they are definitely willing to wait for that, or at least anticipate that it may come after input from others has been received.
So thank you, Marika, and thank you, Avery. So I'm hearing that there is a lot of flexibility from the GSO side should there be an indication that more time is needed. Mindful again of the time, I'll move to the next agenda item, which is, again, a quick update on the GSO liaison to the GAC. As the email was circulated earlier, the council passed a resolution appointing a GSO council to the GAC, starting the LA meeting and for a pilot during fiscal year 15, which ends June 2015. And I understand that there was a unanimous selection for Mason Cole, who was appointed to be the GSO liaison to the GAC. So I think we should keep this in mind and see how can we utilize this opportunity in light of the upcoming GAC agenda for LA, as well as for the options that we will be discussing regarding the day-to-day activities, as well as the PDP, of course. And I was talking to Jonathan, and we see a good benefit from inviting Mason to join the two remaining calls between now and LA. So I hope this would be okay with everyone, and I hope we can try to benefit from having Mason with us on board so that we can prepare efficiently for the LA meeting. So I can see Amr and Avery and Mark agreeing. So perfect. So please, go ahead.
No, my apologies. I meant to agree rather than raise my hand. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. So, we'll be having, hopefully we'll be having Mason on board of our next call, and with this maybe we can shift a little bit our agenda and start with the PDP, if you don't mind, since Suzanne, you mentioned that you would like to be to leave in like 15 minutes or something. So let's start with the PDP and then go back to the day-to-day work track. Marika very helpfully circulated or prepared two documents. One, just one flow chart on the PDP, which also not only describes the current process, but also highlights opportunities for GAC participation. So I'm not sure if you have already had the chance to look into the flow chart. I can see it in the Adobe room now. So do we have any reactions to this? Marika, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. As I don't think we circulated this before today's call, while we circulated as part of the agenda, I don't know if everyone had a chance to review this in detail. So if it's helpful, I'm happy just to briefly walk through it, if you think that's okay.
I think it would be very helpful, yes, please. Can we just... here, Suzanne, and then I'll give you the floor.
Sure.
So, Suzanne, go ahead.
Thank you. Suzanne here. I have not had a chance to read this in any great detail, and I do appreciate that the new formatting really highlights in red for us exactly what we have to tackle. I guess, you know, and I'm fully on board with these concepts of sort of a quick look, early warning, some kind of triage. What I think would be helpful is rather than have, or at least I'm presently, I guess I haven't spent enough time with the new deck, but I think we need to think this through a little bit further in terms of how best to present it to the GAC, because we definitely need to explain sort of how we've arrived at this point. We need to take into account, I think, the survey results, because they're very, very linked. So I'm not entirely sure. And apologies for this. Maybe I need to catch up. I'm not entirely sure that we've made enough of a case for creating a quick look mechanism. I think it may well be that we need to spend a little more time on the survey results and to walk other GAC members who have not responded through those results to see if it might trigger some additional ideas from the floor in LA, because I think people need to be comfortable with first understanding the magnitude of what we're trying to do here, how we're trying to manage. As Mark said, we have to now integrate the whole concept of ongoing GNSO PDP work with GAC work and GAC agendas. And I think that we've always known this stuff is out there, this work is ongoing, but I think Mark has flagged a really key point. It has to become part of GAC work methods, GAC work planning. So I just think we may need a little more legwork or prep work between now and LA to present this, probably as presented by Marika, that we're drawing people's attention to these red flag boxes, because we need to figure out how best to move forward. And a couple of questions come to my mind, at least, and maybe having Mason join our calls might help. One option is, of course, to have a GAC early warning working group or triage or, you know, quick look. Another might be to explore as an experiment, could that be a joint function, so that if the whole point is for us to understand the public policy aspects, whether the GAC needs to weigh in or not, could that be something we take on jointly? And I know we don't have that captured in the PDP slide deck, So it's just a question I put out there for people to ponder, and it may be a stupid idea, but I just wanted to flag it before having to jump off shortly. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. And actually, I see it's a very good idea. And I think as we continue our work, we need to bear in mind the results of the survey as well as the existence of the GNSO liaison and benefit from both in synchronizing the work of the GNSO with the GAC, whether the GAC should prioritize, the GNSO should slow down, the liaison function should maintain both processes in sync. So I can see Amr's hand up. Amr, please.
Well, thanks, Madame. This is Amr. I just wanted to say that I completely agree with what Suzanne just said and with Mark's deduction, though I missed that earlier in the call, of having some sort of maybe process within the GAC that follows up with what's going on with GNSO to be able to contribute during PDP and during the time that these policy development processes are taking place. I just wanted to weigh in with a thought regarding the role of the GNSO Council Liaison, and I think Manel touched upon this as well, and I think that's spot on as well, which is I imagine that the GNSO Liaison to the GAC, one of his biggest or most important duties will be to help the GAC maybe in a method that we haven't determined or worked out yet, and hopefully Mason will be able to help us out with that, but to help the GAC identify what PDPs do have some sort of public policy impact, and those are perhaps PDPs that the GAC could focus more on and use a yet undefined process within the GAC to work with the GNSO on this. I also would like to remind folks of something that we had discussed earlier regarding the role of what we currently have PDP council liaisons, which are liaisons between every PDP working group and the GNSO council. And I believe we had previously explored the idea of having these liaisons also work with the GAC and help them follow up with every PDP as it is ongoing. So, but then that liaison's role within the GNSO doesn't start early on in the stage, but only actually starts when the PDP working group has been formed. So that liaison would not be able to help much in the earlier stages, which are the issue reports and the charter drafting. But once the PDP has started, perhaps some sort of handoff between the council, the GNSO liaison to the GAC and the PDP liaison to the council can take place. And this, who will also be a GNSO counselor, this liaison will be able undoubtedly to help the GAC follow up on a closer basis with the PDP working groups that are going on. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Amr. And before giving the floor to Marika to walk us through the flowchart, maybe because also Suzanne is going to leave early, I can jump ahead of our agenda and say that I was talking again with Jonathan, and we were thinking of a face-to-face meeting for this working group in LA. And I think it would be very useful to have such a discussion there in a face-to-face meeting, and we can invite whoever we see important to have to include in such a discussion. We were thinking of an open meeting where GAC members who are interested could also be in the room, not necessarily the consultation group members only. And Marika also suggested that maybe we can have this just before our informal gathering and the cocktail thing that we had the past two meetings. So maybe we can start with a face-to-face meeting of the consultation group, an open face-to-face meeting, and then have some drinks or some informal gathering by the end of the meeting. and I see this a very good opportunity to have this discussion, and I can see Suzanne. Okay. I mean, we're used to schedule this at the end of the Sunday after the GAC GNSO joint meeting. We used to move to the cocktail, but we were thinking of having first an open face-to-face meeting, then the cocktail. So I'm sorry to be jumping between the different agenda items, but I just felt it was worth noting at this point in time. So, Marika, can you please walk us through the flow chart to facilitate the discussion and even the work intersessionally, please?
Yes, of course. Thank you, Manal. So just as well as a starting point to note that what you see on the slide is really, as you recall, we broke down the policy development process in a number of phases. So the one we're looking at is really the first phase, and of course it doesn't preclude that there may be additional or alternative mechanisms that we may want to explore in some of those other phases, but I think most in the group agree that it was the most important thing are those initial phases and get early input at that stage. So that was, I think, agreed that the focus would first be on those and then move slowly forward to the next phases and see how additional mechanisms or existing mechanisms may need to be enhanced or adapted. So basically, as well, to Suzanne's point, I think what is here is really just a suggestion at this stage. This is one of the ideas that was listed on the slides that were presented in London. So I think the idea is here that, in relation to this specific idea, the quick look mechanism, that this is more kind of visual representation on how such a mechanism could potentially work. And I think, indeed, the idea would be that, and there may be other ideas or other mechanisms that we may want to depict in a similar way, but the hope is as well by doing it in this way, it would give a clearer idea of how it is envisioned to work, but also what it may require, I think both from a GNSO side as well from a GAC side, to actually make it work. So basically, indeed, the red boxes represent what will be new to the existing policy development process. And as I said, the idea is that once a preliminary issue report is posted for public comment, at that point, an announcement usually goes out to the ICANN website as well as a public comment forum is opened, that at that point, a GAC quick look mechanism would kick in. And again, I think it needs to be further defined what that would look like. Is that indeed a GAC committee? Is that the whole GAC? Is that a joint kind of body between the GAC and the GNSO? And again, there are different nuances or different variations that you could think of and that we could even work out and see where both groups feel more comfortable with the idea that group would basically just be able to raise a flag at an early stage to indicate whether there are any potential public policy implications. The idea would be, based on that quick look mechanism, the communication goes back to the GNSO secretariat or the staff to indicate what the outcome was of that quick look mechanism, which is then acknowledged and as input incorporated into the issue report. So the idea being that if feedback comes back through the quick look mechanism that this may have serious public policy implications, that would already give a kind of indication that the GAC will be looking at this, is preparing to get engaged in that, and that needs to be taken into account as the PDP moves into its next stages. So again, and that's as well where you see the bottom at the box, or the box at the bottom right, which basically would move into the next phase of the PDP. The idea is that indeed, if there is this indication that it may have a public policy implications that require GAC attention and input, that would be as well the triggering point for a committee to be formed, or again, there may be other mechanisms that could or would be identified that would start working on providing more detailed input that would go into the PDP working group once that is formed, which basically is the next phase of the PDP. So that is a bit in broad lines the idea behind this. But as I said in the beginning, this is just trying to visualize one of the ideas that was being put forward in our conversations. There may be others. There may be, as said as well, variations on this. So I think it will be important for the group, you know, I think, to first of all probably discuss whether this is an idea worth further exploring, and if so, indeed, you know, what are some of the things that the group would need to think about, and as well, you know, how would you like this to share or present to the GAC as well as the GNSO in Los Angeles, noting that I think between now and then we do only have two meetings to go of the group.
Thank you, Marika. Yes, this is definitely very helpful. So do we have any immediate comments now, or Olof? Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Manal. This is Olof. And just to append a little comment, because that is, if the quick look analysis says that, yes, this has public policy implications, well, that's one thing. It may be so that the quick look mechanism says, no, not that we can see at this particular time, but I guess that wouldn't be the final say. It could, public policy issues could emerge later on, and I think it deserves to be noted that that may happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, thank you, Olof. So it may be that the GAC sees some public policy in one PDP, or wants to remain notified on a certain PDP but has no immediate input, or in a very unlikely case that a PDP is not of an interest to the GAC. So maybe we have, yes, three categories. So, go ahead.
Thanks. This is Amr. I have a question, actually. When we suggest that an issue report is an action that triggers a response within the GAC to form, that the GAC wishes to form some sort of internal committee or working group to follow a certain PDP, not include the GAC actually providing input during the public comment period on an issue report? And I ask this because I'm wondering if the current GAC processes as they exist today, do they not allow for a sort of a speedy or a fast enough response to give an agreed upon comment within, I think it's a 21-day public comment period following the posting of an issue report. Is this something that is possible, or would it be more practical to just consider this as I believe Marika suggested, to be just a triggering mechanism? Thanks.
So, just to make sure I understood your question, were you asking whether the GAC would be able to provide an immediate quick input, or I'm sorry?
That is what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if once an issue report is published, and a preliminary issue report is published, and there's a public comment period on the issue report, would it be possible within the time frame of this public comment period that the GAC provides some input at this stage, and noting that the public comment period is might or might not be a bit short for GAC to go through its own processes of formalizing a response and input? I'm just wondering, this is a question for me. Thanks.
I think normally it's challenging for the GAC to have a GAC consensus view on a PDP issue within the 21-day comment period. But again, I think what was agreed is that even flagging that this issue is of interest could delay or take into consideration that GAC input is going to be submitted even later on. But just to give some indication whether the GAC intends to provide some input or not. And of course, it all depends on the workload and where we stand. So I can see Marika, then Mark, and then maybe we should move to the next agenda item.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note that I think, you know, at least the way it is written up here, of course, it wouldn't prevent any kind of, you know, more detailed input if that is possible or feasible within the, you know, GAC timeframes. But it may be worth pointing out that, in principle, the public comment on the preliminary issue report mainly asks the question of, you know, is there any information missing in the issue report that should be included to make sure all the relevant information is available as the PDP working group starts its deliberations, as well as the question of whether or not the GNSO Council should initiate a PDP. The actual, you know, position or views on a certain issue and, you know, potential ways of addressing it, that is what is, you know, requested by a PDP working group at the start of their deliberations, and hence the kind of flow that is proposed here, that indeed, you know, both I think for the GNSO but as well for the GAC, you know, having that quick look mechanism would provide a kind of triggering point to say, okay, we know this issue is coming, and in, you know, 1 or 2 months we are going to be asked to provide our input. So in order to be able to be ready for that, you know, first of all, we raise the flag so the GNSO at least is aware that they can expect us, you know, to pay attention to this issue and you know, intend to provide input, and at the same time it will also trigger then hopefully a kind of, you know, either a GAC working group or a community or however that would look like, that would actually start working on the issue to be able to provide indeed that kind of input that is requested at the start of, you know, the working group process, so which comes after the issue report.
Thank you, Marika. Mark?
Yes, thank you, Manal, and thank you, Marika. You actually made the point that I was going to make. As this is very much kind of preliminary stage, I think, as I've said in the chat room, if the quick look is launched by, I would suggest, the GNSO liaison describing this as potentially something coming along the track for the GAC, We could probably turn it around in 21 days to say, yes, you know, this looks like something we're going to have to engage with. So it's very much a kind of preliminary phase, and it's incumbent on all the GAC reps to sort of be alert to this. Maybe one or two might want to consult in capital within that 21 days, but the earlier that this is registered as a potential and flagged and some response to the GNSO is communicated, which may prove not, you know, ultimately might not be something for the GAC, or it could be something major for the GAC, but it's so preliminary. I think we could work within that admittedly tight time frame. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And moving to the following agenda item, which is our day-to-day work track. If you recall, we initially had 6 options to look into. We have already discussed 3 during the London meeting, which was the liaison, GNSO liaison to the GAC, and utilizing existing GNSO Council PDP liaisons, as well as the awareness. So I can see the awareness is continuing with us, particularly, again, in light of the results of the survey. And we also have the leadership regular interactions and rethinking the joint meetings. I think where we stand now could postpone or even obsolete the option of topic leads and body system. So we currently have 3 alternatives to, or 3 options could be complementary to look into. Again, the 3 were circulated. Sorry, it was very short before the meeting, before the call, but I hope we can look into the 3 options, think of the potential issues that are within the table and think of the pros and cons of each of them, and also see whether the GNSO liaison could have a specific role in each and every one of the three alternatives. And then maybe we can have a more substantial discussion over email and ultimately on the next call. So, Mark, are you asking for the floor, or this is an old hand?
It's an old hand, sorry.
Okay, it's okay.
No.
Do we have any comments on the PDP work track for now? Okay. Hearing and seeing none. And again, apologies for the late circulation of the agenda and the documents. But it's good that we kick-start the discussions again and hopefully make some progress between now and LA. Finally, the administrative issues. Already, one of the topics I had in mind had already been discussed, which is the face-to-face meeting and the informal gathering afterwards. I think we agreed on seeing some benefit in this. We can work on further details and then share this on the mailing list. I believe we have two remaining calls between now and LA, I think 23rd of September and 7th of October. And Marika, please correct me if I got the dates wrong. So I hope that everyone will be able to join both calls. We need to make some progress, again, as I said, between now and LA, and agree on what exactly that we want to present at the LA meeting. I hope that by then we would have some suggestions regarding the overall PDP process with the GAC opportunities for early engagement, as well as some thoughts on the different opportunities we have on the day-to-day coordination, particularly in light of that we have also the GNSO liaison with us. So, Mark, please, go ahead.
Yes, no, thanks. Just to say I actually can't do the next one. I'll be in en route to Strasbourg that day, traveling all day by train. So it's going to be tricky for me. But I can't work on the train easily, battling across Europe.
It's okay. I mean, thank you for letting us know. And I think if we engage interactively over the email, this also would do. We can work online, and if you have any comments or input, we would take into consideration definitely on the next call. Just share it online, and we'll take care of it.
Okay, we'll do. Yes, thank you.
Okay, perfect. So, anyone has any further comments or questions or anything? So, perfect. So, thank you all for joining the call, and I hope we would have fruitful discussions over email and leading to our call on the 23rd of September, which hopefully Jonathan will be with us on the call, and also Mason call. So thank you all, and have a nice day. Thank you.
Okay, many thanks for now. Thank you.
Yep.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Nori, if you can please stop the recordings.